Now entering the truth zone, deep into the vortex of the information revolution with your host, Michael B.
Your host, Michael B. of the Truth Zone, deep within the vortex of the information revolution, coming to you live from yet another beautiful day in the North Dallas Metroplex in the state of Texas, which is 47th in personal liberties. Not so good, is it? I first want to finish up the Clinton body count clips. I'll play them in succession. Yesterday, I did cut the show a little short. Well, when your wife knocks on the office door wrapped in a towel with that certain smile on her face, you cut the show short, if you guys know what I mean. So, I want to continue with the Seth Rich murder mystery and Monica Peterson, who I don't think got as much traction, not nearly the attraction, as Seth Rich. So I want to finish up those two clips and then move on into the main topic of today. Minnesota turns into Muslim soda. Here's more blowback and the consequences of the so-called multiculturalism. So here's the Seth murder mystery and the Clinton body count victims.
Before his death, Seth Rich was investigating several cases involving the DNC's electoral fraud and voter suppression, and was set to testify on the case of Hillary Clinton's email investigation. The content of Rich's scheduled testimony remains unclear, but it does raise questions about the scandal involving the DNC. Wheeler, the private investigator, says that he has a good reason to believe that Rich was in contact with WikiLeaks and provided the site with tens of thousands of secret emails from the DNC. According to Wheeler, he was in contact with a federal investigator who had personally laid eyes on Rich's laptop. An FBI forensic report made just 96 hours after Rich's death shows that he made contact with Gavin McFadyen, the director of WikiLeaks and a mentor to founder Julian Assange. The federal investigator, who requested to remain anonymous, said that sometime before May 21st, 2016, Rich transferred 44,053 emails and 17,761 attachments belonging to DNC leaders. Those emails were dated from January of 2015 all the way to late May of 2016. On July 22nd, just 12 days after Rich was killed, WikiLeaks published the exact same number of DNC emails that were allegedly given to them by Rich, showing conspiracy against Bernie Sanders and ultimately leading to Debbie Wasserman Schultz resigning as a DNC chairperson. Incidentally, Gavin McFadyen later died on October 22, 2016, just days before the presidential election. Rich's murder in July followed another unusual death of a former UN president, John Ash. Authorities first reported Ash's death as a heart attack, but later recanted statements after an autopsy report showed he died due to a crushed windpipe. Ash died on June 22, 2016, just a few days before he was set to testify.
Kim.com recently made headlines in the Seth Rich case by confirming that Seth Rich was the DNC leaker. Huffington Post confirmed the story by saying, quote, Kim.com isn't part of any conspiracy theory. He accurately predicted Julian Assange would publish material considered to be Hillary Clinton's worst nightmare in a 2015 Bloomberg interview, end quote. Let's play that Bloomberg interview for you now.
What about Julian Assange? What's your relationship with him?
So what Julian Assange is doing is putting a spotlight on all these secrets.
How often do you talk to him?
Why is that important to you?
I'm curious.
Look, I like these guys, you know. I look up to them. I think they are very brave. They're going through a very hard time, you know, and they chose to do that for the betterment of all of us. So, yeah, I love to talk to them.
So, you said you were going to bring the internet party to the U.S. in 2016.
Yeah.
Why? What's your goal?
Well, because I think there's a big group of people out there that disagree with what's going on, you know. They want to have their privacy back. They want to have internet freedom.
You tweeted that you were going to be Hillary's worst nightmare in 2016. How so?
Well, I have to say it's probably more Julian. But I'm aware of some of the things that are going to be roadblocks for her. So, you know, if I can provide some transparency with these people and make them part of what the Internet Party stands for, then, you know, I will be happy to do that.
You're saying Julian Assange is going to be Hillary's worst nightmare in 2016.
I think so, yeah.
How so?
Well, he has access to information.
What information?
I don't know the specifics.
Why Hillary in particular?
Well, Hillary hates Julian. She is just an adversary of, I think, internet freedom. And
she signed your extradition request.
Yeah.
This 2015 interview perfectly foreshadows the events as they are known today. Kim.com said he knew leaks were coming in 2015, and the reason he knew is because he had contact with the leaker, Seth Rich. And now, if the Huffington Post says this is no longer a conspiracy theory, then everybody should be concerned, because now even publications on the left are saying that Seth Rich was the DNC leaker.
Let's talk a little bit about why the media blackout and the silence from Washington on the Seth Rich case should scare the hell out of you. You have a DNC staffer shot dead in the streets of Washington. Not only that, you have a mountain of evidence suggesting that he is the WikiLeaks source. Which means, by the way, because they're not idiots in Washington, that means people in Washington know he was the source. And I'm talking about Democrats and Republicans. Seth Rich is the card that would bring the entire house down. I'm talking the DNC, I'm talking the media. This destroys the credibility of anyone and everyone that's been pushing this Russia story. And if Republicans know that they have this card that can totally bring down the opposition, and I mean in a permanent way, and if they are not using that card, either the RNC has a vested interest in not taking down their opposition, and I'm talking about every senator and every congressman, because all it would take is one putting a little pressure on the local police department, or one guy at the FBI with a little bit of weight stepping in and say, hey, we have reason to believe this DNC staffer was the WikiLeaks source. We're going to take over this investigation. It just takes one. It just takes one. And the fact that not even one person involved in this fiasco has stepped forward and tried to do the right thing should scare the hell out of you. The one person with any kind of platform, Sean Hannity, steps up, decides to start asking the right questions. And what happens? What happens immediately afterwards? They try to crucify him. They are scared. This can't just be swept under the carpet. That's power they don't have anymore. So as terrified as you should be of this situation, I promise you they are more terrified. Seth Rich died trying to do the right thing. It's time people stood up and said, we're not going to take this anymore. We're not going to allow an elite class to shoot us dead in the streets like a dog. We're not going to allow a complicit media that's basically just a propaganda wing for the elites. Tell us what to think. The elites are so used to the rule of law not applying to them. It's escalated and escalated. It's escalated to the point to where they're literally murdering people right in front of us. I'm disgusted. And if you let them take down Sean Hannity or anyone else, you are saying it's okay to shoot us dead in the streets. We cannot let this go. We need justice for Seth Rich.
Massive breaking news story. Explosive developments in the mysterious murder of former DNC staffer Seth Rich that could completely shatter the narrative.
We are just 2 months shy of the one-year anniversary of Seth Rich's murder. And ever since we learned Rich was a DNC staffer, the conspiracy theories online have taken a life of their own. But today, Fox 5 has learned there is new information that could prove these theorists are, in fact, right. New information from the family's private investigator suggests there is tangible evidence on Seth Rich's laptop that confirms he was communicating with WikiLeaks prior to his death. Now, the question is, why has D.C. police, as the lead agency on the investigation for the past 10 months, insisted this was a botched robbery when, till this day, there is no evidence to suggest that? The Rich family hired Rod Wheeler, a former MPD homicide detective, to run a parallel investigation into their son's death. Wheeler says he believes there's a cover-up and the police department has been told to back down from the investigation.
The police department nor the FBI has been forthcoming. They haven't been cooperating at all. I believe that the answer to solving his death lies on that computer, which I believe is either at the police department or either at the FBI. I've been told both.
But you have sources at the FBI saying that there is information
for
that
sure
could link Seth Rich to WikiLeaks?
Absolutely. Yeah, and that's confirmed. Actually, I have a source inside the police department that has looked at me straight in the eye and said, Rod, we were told to stand down in this case, and I can't share any information with you. Now, that's highly unusual for a murder investigation.
I made contact with somebody from the Democratic National Committee's office, and they've been served. Democracy has prevailed today.
But in a bizarre twist of events, on August 2nd, less than 1 month after serving the subpoena, Lucas was reported dead. Police are not releasing the cause of death at this time and are not commenting on speculation that Lucas was murdered. His unusual and sudden death is fueling speculation about the recent death of Seth Conrad Rich. Rich, a DNC employee, was working on several committee cases involving voter and election fraud before he was murdered by gunshots. He was also set to testify in the FBI's email investigation of Hillary Clinton before he was killed. Authorities have ruled his death as a robbery gone wrong, but police records indicate nothing was stolen from Rich. His recent mysterious deaths appear to be something stranger than fiction.
Rich's murder made national news because of his job with the Democratic National Committee as the director of voter expansion data.
That was just a robbery, I believe, wasn't it?
No, there's no finding. So,
what are you suggesting? What are you suggesting?
I'm suggesting that our sources take risks, and they become concerned to see things occurring like that.
But was he one of your sources then? I mean,
our sources face serious risks.
But it's quite something to suggest a murder. So that's basically what you're doing.
We are investigating to understand what happened in that situation with Seth Rich.
But was he one of your sources then? I mean,
so. So there you have it about Seth Rich and the other guy, John Ash. It's interesting. How many people mysteriously die by suicide or accident right before they're set to testify? I gave you the other one yesterday. I believe his name was Peter Smith. I had just grabbed that quick. You're going to have the Haiti official that was going to testify against the Clinton Foundation, he commits suicide. And, well, I'm going to play you next someone named Monica Peterson, also involved in the Haiti scandal. And she, too, was going to blow the lid off the Clinton Foundation. And we're going to hear what happened to her. This is also courtesy of Infowars.com. And so the Russia thing, obviously, we know that it's a ruse. It's slowly dying out. But you see how the commentator said that we need to stand up to this and we need to speak out. Well, that's what I'm doing here with the Truth Zone. I'm not sitting back. I'm sharing this information with you. Hopefully, you guys and gals we'll share it with others. We can't just sit back. And, you know, the Clintons, perhaps, or I'll put it this way, advocates for the Clintons who obviously want to protect them from legal issues are getting more and more brazen. They are just blatantly committing these crimes right in front of us because they know they're untouchable. As the commentator said, So many people in Washington and the media could be taken down forever. It was the same thing with Barney Frank when he allegedly was found doing some, oh, I don't know, pedophilia stuff. And he threatened to take down everybody he knew was implicated in something. And magically, his issue went away. And that's exactly what's happening here, folks, is that they're circling the wagons. And that's part of the net neutrality. You know, it's under the guise of, you know, we'll all have equal rights to the internet. It's not going to be owned by an oligarchy. That's not what net neutrality is. It's government being able to put the heat on the owners, especially of social media and internet service providers, to censor us from speaking out against these atrocities. It's like what's going on in China. It's like what's going on in Germany. You get arrested now in Germany for what you say on social media, and that's been going on for years in China. Through net neutrality and handing it over to the UN, as Obama did late in his presidency, we're all vulnerable to censorship and persecution. So we must speak out. We must use the internet and the social media platforms while we can. And if we speak loud enough together, we can overturn a lot of this stuff. But we have to stand up in unison. You know, the old story, united we stand, divided we fall. We either hang separately or we hang together. Actually, I think it's the other way around. We either hang together or hang separately. You get the gist of it. So I want to get into Monica Peterson. And again, courtesy of Infowars.com.
Monica Peterson, who was a young woman who had gone to Haiti to investigate the child sex trafficking affiliation with the Clinton Foundation, was suicided. And this was a young woman who had every reason to live. She was doing something purposeful.
Welcome back to the Alex Jones Show. Owen Schroyer filling in. Star-studded cast here today. Gary Haven, David Knight, and Joe Biggs. And we were just discussing Haiti as we left the last segment. We'll rejoin that discussion now. More specifically, talk about something that was pretty much ignored by the mainstream media, as far as I can could tell. And you know how it goes. If the mainstream media doesn't touch it, it's just a conspiracy theory. But you brought up the name Monica Peterson, who actually, unfortunately, she was deceased because of what she was doing in Haiti.
Yeah, you know, after I'd done my Clinton rant, thanks to Joe here, and then Hillary lost, thank God, I thought, wow, you know, I may survive this. And I was in Haiti when it happened, a week after the election. Monica Peterson, who was a young woman who had gone to Haiti to investigate the child sex trafficking affiliation with the Clinton Foundation, was suicided. And this was a young woman who had every reason to live. She was doing something purposeful. And by the way, there's been no release of information about her death in investigation to this day. And so a week after the election, people affiliated with the investigation of the Clintons gets suicided. I thought, well, maybe I need to keep my head up a little bit longer. And then, of course, we know that the Clinton Foundation had an affiliation with child sex trafficking in Haiti because of the Laura Silsby investigation. This was a woman who was in Haiti who got caught transporting children across the border into the Dominican Republic. And she was arrested and held. And Hillary Clinton and Huma Abedin were sending emails back and forth about Laura Silsby. And an attorney that was affiliated with the Clinton Foundation was sent down there to secure her release. And, of course, the Clintons are heavily involved in election fraud down there and getting their people elected. So they have a lot of influence. I met,
and this has been going on since the 90s too.
Oh yeah, yeah. At least since Bush was in office, we've now seen there's so much evidence of our influence, America's influence on the
politics.
And
the key thing too here, Gary, is the rich mineral resources of Haiti. People understand it's such a poor country. Why are they doing this? Well, it's a poor country because of their politics, but they have a vast mineral resources.
That's right. You know, Hillary's brother got the first gold lease in the country, got it for a nominal amount of money. And again, it's
shocking.
Pay to play benefits of being associated with these people. You know, and not to change the subject, but there's so much evidence on pay to play, whether it's uranium or you name it out there. Why Trump doesn't understand that the best defense is a strong offense. He should be going after these people and filling up the news cycle.
Up the prisons.
And the prisons with these criminals that have aligned against him right now. And I don't see that he has a choice. And I tell you, chief among them is pedophilia. You know, what they all have in common, these elitists, is pedophilia. You know that the Justice Department under Trump...
And that's why, as I've stated many times, and I drew the correlation, that's why the elitists are protecting and using Islam. Because homosexuality, ironically, and pedophilia runs rampant, and inbreeding. Inbreeding is huge with these people, hence the insanity and the erratic behavior.
Has already prosecuted 1,500 people.
That's right.
For a pedophilia.
Most arrests ever. I'm constantly documenting it. Yeah.
So I think that's the next big thing to happen. We're going to find out the people in power in this country. John Podesta and his email.
His weird brother.
Yeah, and you know the piece
weird of, art collection.
That's normal.
Alefante, if you look at his art collection, okay, and. You know, any reasonable person will look at that art and say, this guy is sick. He's nuts. And I don't care what other evidence you need. You look at that and you need to ask some questions. And, you know, the great thing about Alex and what I would encourage him to do more often is to point out that he's just asking the questions that ought to be asked. You know, he's not making his conclusions. You know, he has done thousands of stories, and I think he's apologized a dozen times. And, you know, when we sit here and we aren't reading a script, but we're thinking out loud and asking the questions that most Americans are too afraid to ask, by the way.
Right.
I'm not afraid. I have the courage. And as an American, I have the freedom and I think the responsibility to ask the questions. And I don't care if I'm going to get ridiculed or shamed or lied about. By God, I'm going to ask the questions. I'm an American. I'm not a subject. I'm a citizen. And that's what Alex has done. And I tell you what, if he's only apologized a dozen times after the thousands of stories he's done, I would say Alex has done a pretty good job, wouldn't you?
Well, and you just take a look at the history of the stuff that Alex Jones would talk about 20 years ago, 10 years ago, 5 years ago. It's all come true. It's all out there now. Samsung TV spying on you. Vault 7, the CIA spying on everything. The Clintons and Haiti. I mean, it just goes on and on. The WikiLeaks emails, putting kids in the pool for your pleasure. The six satanic rituals that Marina Abramovich goes on with these people with. We'll be right back with the Alex Jones Show on the other side.
So, absolutely, Podesta's brother is going to have weird art and all of that crap. Because, like Owen Schroyer concluded with, they're devil worshippers. They're Satanists. They're sick. Dare I say, if they're not demon-possessed, they probably wish that they were. Because then they would think that they've got supernatural powers. No, they don't have supernatural powers. What they have is power by money, and they are slaves to the elitists who are the true front line for Satan, that are running this insanity. To segue into me talking about the pedophilia and the inbreeding, let's talk about the United States of Minnesota and what Minnesota is turning into. First of all, I find it kind of funny that, you know, Muslims are from the desert. Why would they be in arguably, what, the top five coldest state in the union? And they are just infesting Minnesota. And I've got a few articles, and I've got a couple of clips. I'm going to play the first one. This is called Islam Minnesota, the first Muslim state. Now, this person makes one mistake. He brings up separation of church and state. And this irritates me. And this is why I also did a show and I put up an article about America being a republic and not a democracy. And some couple of smart asses said, you can use the word interchangeably. No, you can't. You cannot use it interchangeably. A republic and a democracy are vastly different. And the separation of church and state nonsense that so many Americans have been suckered into, number one, does not exist in the United States Constitution. And when Thomas Jefferson wrote that letter to the Danbury congregation in Connecticut, he did not say that religion should be out of government. No. He said the opposite. He said that the government cannot encroach on religion. That there was a wall of protection there, which has been breached a million times. It's been breached with the 503C, which dangled the carrot in front of the churches, giving them tax breaks, but then they can't talk about politics. Well, they can't endorse a candidate. And the government did that on purpose. Because before the expansion of media, you got your information from the center of your town. And in the center of your town was the church. Everything was discussed in the church. And the pastor had the biggest influence on the local town. And if he endorsed a certain candidate, you better believe that the majority of that church is going to vote for that candidate. And the government didn't want it. The government wants you ignorant and uninformed. So, I'm going to play this clip. And excuse me for the dog barking. We have our septic is being done, and so they bark at everybody that comes over. So, without further ado, here is Islam Minnesota, the first Muslim state.
Now, my word, what's going on in Minnesota? It seems to be on its way to be America's first Somali Muslim state. First, we've been watching the drama at the Minneapolis airport where Somali Muslim cab drivers are demanding the right to refuse service to passengers who violate Islamic law, Sharia law. These would be people carrying bottles of alcohol or have a dog traveling along, such as a blind person with his or her seeing eye dog. Then we have the situation with Target, where Muslim cashiers refuse to handle a package of bacon at the checkout stand. Target has now reassigned these people so they don't have to handle pork, which means that Target has agreed to go along with Sharia law. Then news today that in the suburb of Woodbury, a man and a woman were found with 1,000 pounds of cot. What is cot, you might ask? Well, it is a mildly hallucinogenic drug, which is a favorite of Somalis. When I was in Somalia, the biggest crowd at the outdoor markets were always around the cot stall, where a new load of the leafy drug had arrived from bush country or from neighboring Kenya. All these indicators say one thing very dramatically. Somalis coming to Minnesota are not assimilating. They're bringing the Muslim culture of that desert country to Minnesota's snowy woods. They may have to wear warmer clothing, but the Somalis want Islamic law, just like back home, and they want the same illegal drug they had back home, too. Minnesota is famously liberal, and now all eyes are on the state to see how voters there react to this onslaught against their culture and law. Are Minnesotans going to be so open-minded they say, sure, you can have a different set of laws here just for you and your people. We don't mind. We'll pretend we don't notice. There is such a thing as carrying politeness too far. What Minnesotans must say is, this is America. We already have law here. The Somalis want to live under Quran law, Sharia. They could have stayed in Somalia. That is my word. Reach me at myword@foxnews.com. See you back here tomorrow. The big issue is separation of church and state in America's state schools, of course, but there isn't going to be a separation of mosque and state at one public college in Minnesota. The school is going to install a special sink, or several, for Muslims to wash their feet, and taxpayers are going to have to foot the bill. Big Story correspondent Douglas Kennedy has the details. Douglas.
Yeah, John, this sink is for a pre-prayer wash, and the school says it's to keep their students safe. Critics are calling it a double standard. For practicing Muslims, daily prayer is a must. In fact, devout Muslims are required to bow to Mecca 5 times a day, each time washing their hands, their mouths, and especially their feet. Now, a college in Minnesota wants to help their Muslim students do just that.
Well, the college is proposing to construct modifications to college bathroom facilities to create foot basins for ritual prayer preparation for Muslim students.
Minneapolis Community and Technical College is a state-run university. Last year, it banned a campus coffee cart from playing Christmas carols. Catherine Kirsten is a columnist for the Minneapolis Star Tribune.
Although Christianity is barred in public places during the holiday season, the college is actually going to be using taxpayer funds in order to construct daily prayer preparation facilities for Muslim students.
See, now, I don't know if this is technically establishing a religion of the United States. Certainly, though, it is showing favoritism. Certainly, you would think that there would be a law against doing such a thing where you ban someone's expression of their religion, which is a violation of the First Amendment, and then you compound it by sponsoring another and using taxpayers' dollars to show favoritism to one religion over another. That's also discrimination. So, I see multiple violations done by the state of Minnesota and really also done by the federal government, because the federal government has to know this is going on. And by them not doing anything about this, well, they're aiding and abetting. They're an accomplice. So, this is what Minnesota is turning into. And Michigan needs to be on the alert as well. There is this Muslim that is looking to run for governor. And if London voting in a Muslim mayor didn't tell you anything, then there's really no hope for the state of Michigan and perhaps the state of Minnesota too. Islam must be banned and outlawed as a satanic, political, and demonic ideology. And people that will not renounce Islam must be deported immediately. And if they don't leave voluntarily, then they get arrested and they get thrown out of the United States. They do not assimilate. They think that Sharia law trumps the Constitution, and we'll get into that in the next clip. This ideology is no different than Satan worship. It is Satan worship. They just don't call it that. And many Muslims may not even be aware that Allah is the moon god Sin. He's the god of the Babylonian Nabonidus. It is an evil, satanic ideology, and the evidence is overwhelming. So, we'll continue with the clip.
This is not the first religious controversy to hit Minneapolis. Last year, Muslim cabbies began refusing fares for people carrying liquor, citing religious reasons. But college president Phil Davis says the two accommodations are very different. The foot washing facilities are not about religion. They are about customer service and public safety. Davis points out if there are no facilities, Muslim students will have to wash their feet in bathroom sinks, which he says is not sanitary and dangerous for the students.
There are a number of ways that this could be handled. Certainly, students could be told that they simply could not use the public bathrooms to wash their feet. They could also be encouraged to talk to religious leaders about other abbreviated or accelerated ways to prepare for prayer, which are very much acceptable in mainstream Islamic practice.
Davis says the school has tried unsuccessfully to dissuade students from washing their feet in hand sink.
How about you keep your freaking shoes on? This is the West. This is not the desert where we're in the Middle Ages, or put on some slippers. This is not customer service. This is just a roundabout to get away with religious preference over another.
He says the foot facility is the best way to accommodate what he says is a growing practice. He also says, John, the cost, he insists the cost will be modest.
Nonetheless, paid by the taxpayers. On Monday morning, Douglas, the Minneapolis airport is going to vote on those Muslim cab drivers and what they're going to do about carrying
alcohol. We will see
alcohol.
What happens with that issue.
We certainly will. Douglas Kennedy, thank you. That's my word. Here's my one simple rule about relations with Islam. We can all get along, but this country is a Sharia-free zone and should stay that way. Sharia law is Islamic law based on the Quran, and it is evidently the law of the land in the Minneapolis airport, where Muslim cab drivers, mostly from Somalia, are saying they will not obey American law. The law of the Minneapolis Airport Authority, that law says that in our land, if you have a cab license, you must take whatever passenger shows up for a ride. But the Muslim cabbies say they will not carry someone who is carrying alcohol. So you get off the plane with your duty-free bottle of scotch you picked up at Heathrow in London, no cab ride. At first, this story was reported as a few Muslim cab drivers, and now it turns out that few is way, way more. Up to 80% of the cab drivers are Muslim Somalis, and they want to impose Sharia law on their passengers. No alcohol. Certainly no bottles of alcohol in the cab, and soon, I suspect, no alcohol in the passenger. What's that on your breath, bub? Beer? You can walk. This is outrageous, and the Minneapolis Airport Authority insisted the Muslim cab drivers obey the law, but the cab drivers have now refused. They want Sharia law for themselves and imposed on their passengers. If the Minneapolis Airport Authority caves on this, every member of that board should be fired. Muslim cabbies won't obey our law. They should go back to wherever it is. Their law is the law of the land. Somalia is a hellhole. I've been there. But if they want to live under Somali law, they certainly can go back there and live as they please. They are here in this country, and the law here is not based on the Quran. These cab drivers need to learn that fast. I cannot believe the people of Minnesota will cave to this, but I suppose they might. Political correctness is afoot in the land. Who are we to demand our own law when new arrivals want to impose theirs? If this stands, we shall run an official boycott of cabs in Minneapolis, right here in the show. I've never taken a Minneapolis cab, but I might just fly there with a bottle of scotch just to boycott the cabbies. I could believe this is happening in London, but here, outrageous. That's my word, Regiment.
Well, so that's Minnesota, folks. Those people are soft. We know Minnesotans are soft. It's the Midwest, you know, blah, blah, blah. No balls. No balls. So we talk about Christianity being removed from the public here in the United States. This second clip is titled Minnesota Somali School. See, again, it's the Somalis that are the worst, but they're Muslims nonetheless. And I go to a dentist where one of the assistants, she's Irish, born in Ireland, lived in London, and she told me that the Somalis were the most disgusting, nastiest people of all of them. And we see Minnesota. I mean, look, They freaking elected Al Franken, okay? If Jesse the Body Ventura wasn't bad enough, who is an absolute liberal, who's an absolute traitor, kissing Mexican ass, because he's really no longer welcomed in America. He's burned enough bridges. Minnesota doesn't have a great track record for having brains. Maybe it's the cold up there. I don't know. I certainly hope this stuff doesn't happen here in Texas. But here is Muslim schools in Minnesota caught teaching Sharia law.
All right. Meanwhile, the Twin Cities, Minneapolis and St. Paul, are home to the Mall of America, four major sports teams, and the largest Somali Muslim population in the United States. The area now considered by some as, in some cases, ground zero for ISIS recruitment inside America. So what is it really like on the streets of these Somali-American communities?
Pete Hegseth went to find out.
That's right. We took to the streets. I'm from Minnesota, born and raised there, and we wanted to take a look. So more than 60 people from Minnesota's Somali community have attempted to go overseas to join terrorist organization. Wow. What is making this area such a fertile ground for recruiting Islamists? One neighborhood in Minneapolis may hold the answer, so we went and took a look.
A terror connection leading right back to the Twin Cities.
Federal authorities say that a man's been arrested on terror-related charges.
Major concerns in the Somali community over a terror recruitment video that was released by Al-Shabaab.
It's often the lead story in the Twin Cities. Terror recruits coming from Minnesota, where thousands of Somalis relocated after civil war ripped their country apart in 1991.
We're here in the Cedar Riverside area of Minneapolis, what some call Little Mogadishu. These towers have long been a symbol of a very large Somali Muslim population here in Minneapolis. What some would say, an increasingly insular Muslim population.
Pretty much everybody here is nice. They love this country.
The worst propaganda is by news media, biased against, you know, all Muslims. And some people are targeting Muslims. Because I'm Muslim doesn't mean that I'm terrorist.
Of more than 200 Islamic schools in the United States, at least two, likely more, are located in Minnesota. American government is listed as a subject at one of these schools.
The Islamic schools here in Minnesota, they teach Sharia law.
Yeah, Sharia law.
And what do they teach? Also American law, the U.S. Constitution?
Actually, I have no idea about that one.
While many first-generation Somalis come to America looking for a better life, we had a hard time finding people in the Cedar Riverside neighborhood who spoke English.
We're here with Fox News just doing a story about the Riverside area. No English? Any at all? No? Just wanted to see if I could ask you a couple quick questions.
No English.
Would you be willing to chat with us?
No English.
No English?
No English.
You go there and you see someone who's been there for like 20 years and he or she doesn't speak a single word of English because they don't interact with people outside that circle. It creates an environment where the lone wolf is going to be easier to hide in.
Omar Jamal is an outspoken community leader in Minneapolis.
Is radicalization still going on right now? Are Somali youth still being recruited by ISIS as we speak?
Yes.
National security expert Ryan Murrow has investigated radical mosques across the country and says terror recruits, most of them second-generation immigrants, feel isolated from society.
One of the critical factors in ISIS propaganda is saying that you belong in the caliphate and your life will be better under the caliphate. You'll get free health care. The social services will be wonderful. We'll all treat you as friends and family members. We'll hook you up with a husband or a wife. And so they have this illusion that the caliphate is a wonderful thing. And then they go over there and then they see the truth.
At least two young people who worshipped at the Al-Farouq Mosque in Bloomington, near Minneapolis, have attempted to join terror organizations.
I want to see if there's anybody here we could chat with. Just about the mosque here and.
Unfortunately, there's nobody. If you can make an appointment, yeah, that'd be great.
There are allegations and evidence of connections to, you know, folks that have attended this mosque going to fight for ISIS. Do you know anything about that?
Like I said, I mean, this is not the wrong time. I mean, if you guys want to make an appointment, we could. We're on the way. Can we maybe just step outside?
After we were kicked out of the mosque, we called to make an appointment, but are still waiting for a response.
U.S. government, since 9/11, has miserably failed to come up with a strategy to gain the minds and the hearts of the Muslim population. Until the U.S. government comes up with meaningful ways to engage not only Somalis in Minnesota, but overall Muslim community, I think we're going to have this war on war on terror for the next generation and the one after.
In response to this story, the Council on American Islamic Relations sent us a statement saying the Minnesota Muslim community has been working hard to address recruitment by the Al-Shabaab terror group and has achieved results in that there have not been any new known recruits in the past few years. We urge the federal government to support this Minnesota community-based effort. Treating the Muslim community as suspect only harms relations with law enforcement and alienates and stigmatizes our communities. CARE has long been a defender of a lot of mosques.
No. Here's what stigmatizes Islam. Their actions. Their actions do that. It's not, you know, we don't have to open our hearts for anything. People coming to this country need to assimilate. Nobody kissed my grandfather's ass when he came to here from Italy in 1914 at the age of 19. My grandfather had to assimilate. He had to learn English. He had to get a job, two jobs actually. And he had a family. And that's how it works. And this recruitment stuff with the Muslims really is no different than the Mexican gangs recruiting young Spanish kids in California. And that's the multiculturalism. These people are isolated. The biggest reason is connected. They're not taught to assimilate. They're not taught to adopt American ideals. They're purposefully put in these small ghettos to commit crime, ladies and gentlemen, to expand police departments and militarize them, to wreak havoc on us so we beg for government help. It's a battle plan. It's a battle plan to turn the United States of America into a European socialist bloc, and we are totally dependent on the government. This is an absolute coup against the United States of America. It is not a conspiracy theory. It is a proven conspiracy. So I want to move on to a couple of articles, again, involving Minnesota. Now, this is from last year, matter of fact, July 5th, but it's still relevant. Muslim refugees threaten Minnesota community with rape. A mob of up to 30 young Somali men, see that keeps coming up over and over again, paraded through one of Minneapolis's more upscale neighborhoods at that time last week, yelling disparaging comments and threats against homeowners. A female resident of the neighborhood, obviously shaken in a TV interview, related how she was screamed at by a Somali man who threatened to kidnap and rape her. Quote, "They were screaming at the house that they were going to kidnap you and they were going to rape you," one Minneapolis resident told KSTP-TV. "It was a very traumatizing experience." Somalis living in Minneapolis are almost all Sunni Muslims. And residents of the Lake Calhoun area say this isn't the first time a group of Somali men has made an intimidating march through the neighborhood, which is filled with million-dollar homes. No hate crime charges, of course not, are being considered by either the Minnesota authorities or the Obama Muslim Justice Department, headed by the sellout and bought and paid for Loretta Lynch. Police were called to the scene on June 28th of last year, about 9:30 a.m., and are investigating the incident as a potential case of terrorist threats. No arrests have been made. Shocking. And the Minneapolis media appear to be largely uninterested in reporting on the mob threats. Well, of course they're not. They've been told to stand down on this. They don't want you to know the truth. That is why I am here. This article is courtesy of WND.com. The next one from WND.com. Minnesota Muslims were caught with bomb-making devices in their car, and two suspects were arrested. A routine police check, this happened May 11, 2017. A routine police check in Minnesota resulted in the arrest of two Muslim men on charges they were driving around with an arsenal of weapons, including bomb-making devices. Abdullah N. Erfahi, whatever, 27, and Majid N. Afarafarafarafarafarafarafarafarafarafarafarafarafarafarafarafarafarafarafarafarafarafarafarafarafarafarafarafarafarafarafarafarafarafarafarafarafarafarafarafarafarafarafarafarafarafarafarafarafarafarafarafarafarafarafarafarafarafarafarafarafarafarafarafarafarafarafarafarafarafarafarafarafarafarafarafarafarafarafarafarafarafarafarafarafarafarafarafarafarafarafarafarafarafarafarafarafarafarafarafarafarafarafarafarafarafarafarafarafarafarafarafarafarafarafarafarafarafarafarafarafarafarafarafarafarafarafarafarafarafarafarafarafarafarafarafarafarafarafarafarafarafarafarafarafarafarafarafarafarafarafarafarafarafarafarafarafarafarafarafarafarafarafarafarafarafarafarafarafarafarafarafarafarafarafarafarafarafarafarafarafarafarafarafarafarafarafarafarafarafarafaraf had reason to search their car and found a hand grenade, handgun, several assault rifles and magazines, and a large quantity of ammunition, according to the police report. They also found cell phones, drone parts, computer and electronics devices capable of igniting a bomb. See, this is how they assimilate, ladies and gentlemen. A newly released ISIS video encouraged terrorists in the United States to launch new attacks, and the video's instructions delivered by an American ISIS operative included the use of drones and rovers. You see, ladies and gentlemen, the fight is not in Syria. The fight is not in Iraq. The enemy is inside the gates. They are in the United States of America. The fight is here. The jihad is here. The crusade is here in the United States. Islam must be banned as a geopolitical ideology directed to destroy this country and kill American citizens. All non-Muslim citizens. This is a holy war here in America, and our government is supposed to protect the American people from foreign and domestic invasion. This is just one instance of people being caught, and you never hear about it on the news, or it's very quick and it's done away with. Only here on social media and the internet and podcasts like me bring stories of these things to you day after day after day, because they are happening. Quote, it showcases a range of proprietary weapons that ISIS militant workshops here in America have developed, Laith Akari, a security analyst with Flashpoint, told NBC News. Pointing out rocket-propelled grenade launchers, shoulder-launched surface-to-air missiles, video-equipped guided missiles, a remote-controlled rover that can drop explosive devices under military vehicles, and a drone that could potentially drop a bomb on a crowd. I'm going to move on to the last article. Here's what happens, folks, when your American legislature, your elected officials, go against our culture in the guise of multiculturalism, and when you bring a barbaric society into a civilized society, this is what you receive. After Minnesota welcomes burkinis, they find something horrifying in their pools. This is from foundingpatriot.com. While France is banning Islamic swimwear, Minnesota is encouraging Muslim women to wear their burkinis at public pools. But this might have just backfired at them. Many cities around the world have been implementing fines and expulsion from beaches for Muslim women who insist on wearing their burkinis. However, one judge has decided to allow this as he cites personal liberty as a reason for overturning the majority vote. No matter the fact, wearing these burkinis is very unhygienic. Minnesota liberals and feminists praise Muslim women who wear them. Only recently, health officials discovered that some public swimming pools have been infected with a parasite known as Cryptosporidium. This is a parasite that causes watery diarrhea and coughing. Still, the employees at the pool say that after superchlorinating the pools, they'll be ready to reopen. The question that remains is this. What caused this parasite to appear? Maybe the hordes of migrants that settled in Minnesota? The officials are still not commenting on this. There were reports that migrants were defecating in public pools in Germany. That means taking a shit. Additionally, they sexually harassed women and children and laughed at the employees when confronted. We should take care of the problem with migrants and their bikinis before we find ourselves in the same situations that Germans are in. The parasite that appeared might have been the first step towards a big disaster. So, these Muslim women take shits in public pools, and they give our people a parasite causing diarrhea and coughing. This is the de-evolution, ladies and gentlemen, of the greatest Western society, the greatest country on earth ever created by man, inspired by Christian principles. In closing, I'm going to play this last clip. The liberals on Facebook still, and mostly blacks, want to bitch about slavery in America that was abolished over 150 freaking years ago. There is still slavery in this world still being perpetrated. This clip will tell you who those people are. And do you want this to come to America?
Hello and welcome to Common Sense TV. I'm your host, the Doctor of Common Sense. You know, there is always a lot of talk about now, about Islam, and whenever the Islamic folk or the black radicals or the liberal left speak about America, it normally wants to bring up slavery. And don't get me wrong, slavery is always wrong. There is no justification for slavery, period. But I do find it fascinating that most of the left, most of the progressives, most of those who are so either black on or these leftists who hate America, they always talk about the imperialistic ways of America, how it enslaved people. But let's think about this thing. Slavery in America officially ended about 150 years or so ago. Now, there were still Jim Crow laws and racist laws on the book up until especially 1950s. But nobody was literally enslaved. Now, they would kill blacks. So if these same blacks and same progressives and same liberals who hate slavery, which I do too, they just have such a disdain for slavery, why isn't this same disdain for Islam who still have slaves today? Not years ago. Islam was founded on slavery. From Muhammad up until present, especially if you go to Sudan, if you go over to Western African countries, I think it's Mauritania, I think that's how you pronounce it. They have anywhere from 100,000 to 500 black slaves. These are Muslims. As a matter of fact, people don't understand that the Arab societies enslaved blacks first. They're known for being racist towards blacks. But I don't hear anything from Louis Farrakhan. I don't hear anything from the Black Panthers. I don't hear anything from these white activists, these guilty white activists who's always telling you how the imperialistic America is so wrong for slavery. Why don't they say anything about places like Saudi Arabia, even though it's, I think slavery is supposed to have been abolished in Saudi Arabia in 1962, just 1962. That's a joke, too, because you see many cases of people still being enslaved. I mean, just the other day, a woman from India was trying to save up enough money, was working for a wealthy woman in Saudi Arabia. The woman was trying to get up enough money to send back to her family. The Saudi Arabian woman found out that she was trying to escape and save up money. She pushed out the window, chopped her hand off. Under Sharia law, that's permissible. Now, I want to know, why haven't we talked about all of these human rights groups spoke about the slavery in West Africa, Sudan? Many people in Pakistan say they still have slaves over there. Why aren't the same people who are normally talking about the oppression of these whites who have oppressed people, slavery? Let me be clear. I'm adamantly against slavery. Always have been. Look at anything I say. There's no justification for slavery, period. But then when you look at the people who are, just say, over in West Africa, they are being tortured. Slaves get tortured every day. Sexually tortured. They say that they stick these certain insects in their ears, close it up so the insects can't get away. It crawl around and it drives people mad. They're made to sit in the sun. Burning coals is placed on them. Made to be laid out in the sun in the desert where the insects takes over their body. But you don't hear any outrage because Islam is doing this. Let me be clear with you. Islam will always be a part of slavery. Notice what ISIS does when they go over to lands. They enslave women. Sometimes they enslave men, but women especially, because they use the slaves for breeding. They raise a whole army up. They get over here. They rape these women, have children by them, enslave them, and then cause, this is how they get some of their armies. This is a practice with Islam. It's a practice with jihad. Jihad is a part of this thing that you get the infidel to, you rape the infidel, you take their substance, and then you breed using the infidel, enslaving them. My question is, the majority of Muslim countries really still have slaves. But you don't hear this from the media. You don't hear this from the black activists. You don't hear this from the guilty whites. Yemen, Oman. You think they don't have slaves over there still? Are you kidding me? Niger. There's slavery still going on today. And you want to tell us something about slavery 150 years ago. What about the damn slaves today? Notice that you don't hear any of these left-leaning people talking about the slave trade going on in Africa, going on in Muslim countries right now. They're being tortured. This is what a lot of American blacks don't understand. Arabs are some of the most racist people towards blacks. They use you dumb blacks to think that they're on your side. I believe Muhammad, a champion and soul a slave, did he not? The Quran includes multiple references to slaves, slave women, slave concubines, and freeing slaves. Why aren't we talking about slavery, especially under Sharia law? You think that these people who would rape and pilgrimage and chop off heads care anything about enslaving people, putting them in bondage? Millions of people are enslaved today, and you'll never hear the black radicals talk about that slavery. You'll never hear the white radicals talk about that slavery. Just go look at Africa. Look at Western Africa. Look at how these people have enslaved people. You'll never hear Barack Obama talk about the slave trade. And how over in Sudan, it is a hellhole over there. Machituanya. I hope I'm pronouncing that right. West Africa. I mean, slavery is rampant over there today. No, not 150 years ago. Today. Do you ever hear the liberals talking about slavery in Africa? I thought you cared about people not being enslaved. You want reparations. You can't even get reparations from the people who's actually enslaving you today in those countries. I don't never hear any people talking about getting reparations from the Muslims who got them enslaved today. Barack Obama don't have a campaign to go free these slaves. He went over there messing with Libya. He went over there messing with Egypt. Wasn't even a threat. Don't give a damn about them enslaved. Because, see, he believed that some of these dictators was hurting some of his brothers who's a part of a Muslim cult that he's affiliated with, because he don't care anything about people dying. Why hasn't Barack Obama did something about the Africans being enslaved in Africa? Since he's such a champion of those cause. Because he don't give a damn about you being enslaved. Just like most guilty whites don't give a damn about it. Just like these radical blacks who constantly talk about slavery. They don't give a damn about slavery. This is how they get the masses, the ignorant masses, worked up. It's like having a pep rally with a bunch of mad people who scream and holler, yeah, kill him, kill Whitey, kill this, oh yes, under the death. And they even have these so-called cultures doing things at these colleges, talking about this, having classes talking about this. I've never seen so many people who refuse to look at history. You don't have to go down the line. It's easy. If they was looking for facts, they could find it. You can stop the lies. There's too many stories of people literally being enslaved, whether it be they'll start off being indentured slaves, and they're full-fledged slaves, just like this woman from India learned the hard way in Saudi Arabia. I want to know when is the white liberals and the black liberals and these radicals are going to get upset with the Muslims still enslaving people today.
Okay, that was courtesy of the Doctor of Common Sense, and he's right. You don't see any of this on Facebook whatsoever. But Michael B. of the Truth Zone, I'm talking about this. The Doctor of Common Sense is talking about this. So, in closing, we need to keep our eyes on the daily occurrences of Minnesota, and we need to watch the developments in Michigan. Just want to roll off real quick. Worldwide Muslim terrorist activities around the world. We have one today so far. Mestung, Pakistan. 5 were killed, 1 injured. A woman is among 4 Hazara minorities gunned down along with their driver in a targeted attack. The 18th had 2 incidences yesterday. Trag, Iraq, 5 killed. A rival cleric is among a group of civilians shot to death in the village by Islamic State members. Hazakah, Syria, 4 were killed. 4 Kurds are brought down by a suicide bomber. Now, the 17th was very busy. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 incidences where 5, 10, 18, 28, 29 people were killed. 22, 33, 38 people were injured in Afghanistan, Nigeria, 2 in Nigeria, 1 in Pakistan, and 1 in Yemen. 4 suicide bombings at least. Soldiers were also killed. Female suicide bombers were used. And this is your religion of peace. So we discussed for an hour and 8 minutes this lovely so-called religion. We must demand our elected officials to start banning Islam immediately. This is a worldwide scourge. It is a satanic cult. And Christians are enemy number one. They're in the crosshairs, and our government is setting us up. And we need to be aware, and we need to demand justice be done, though the heavens fall. My name is Michael B. This is The Truth Zone. See you tomorrow, 10 a.m. Central Time.